please join me in a spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You might be wondering, what open house are we going to in today's service? And we're not doing an open house with a real estate agent or visiting a property that we might want to rent. But I think we have a look at the open house of Lazarus and what goes on with the family that is there. And frankly, I find this to be one of the truly perceptive lessons in Scripture, as it helps us get a grip on interpersonal relationships and the way families can treat one another and the way people in their circles can. Now, just a couple of pieces of background knowledge. Bethany was a town outside of Jerusalem, and Bethany in Hebrew is Beit Ani, which means house of the poor. And people back then, just as they do now, often make judgments about locations, how attractive they are, how nice they are, how good the schools might be, whether or not they would actually want to live there. And Bethany was not a place you wanted to live. You would hope to have more going for you in life. But the people who were there were people just like you and me. And they were people that Jesus cared about. And we see that with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And in the verses immediately preceding today's story, Lazarus had been raised from the dead by Jesus. And that was a big deal. Not just to Lazarus, but to everyone in his community, because stuff like that generally did not happen anywhere, but especially in a place like Bethany. But it did. God was present. And now they've gathered together as a family and some friends to have this meal, and some interesting things take place. We see, first of all, that Martha and Mary are engaged in extending hospitality in different ways. And you may recall that extending hospitality in the ancient world was a big deal. And people did it regardless of whether they were wealthy or poor. You are always supposed to share some of what you had with travelers and visitors. And that's what's taking place here. Martha was preparing a meal, and she wanted to put on a great feast for everyone who was there. Mary did something that might seem a little bit strange to us. And frankly, what she did here has contributed to an unfounded reputation. You've heard about Mary being a loose woman, being a prostitute. Why do people say that? There's nothing in the gospel that talks about Mary engaging in any behavior like that. Well, there were certain social expectations, and one was that women did not let down their hair. Now, I know there's been some commenting about my beard lately. It's not going to get out of control, but I have to confess there are days when it feels like a bit much. And I've always worn my hair short, and I would imagine that if it were long, I would want to be able to put it down, get some fresh air. But Mary wasn't supposed to do that. But she did. But not because she was looking to make herself more comfortable, but because she wanted to care for Jesus. Now, I know everyone here may have different opinions about whether they would want strangers to see their feet. And I've commented on this before, but apparently before I came here 12 years ago, there was some discussion about whether or not there would be a foot washing on Maundy Thursday. And as I understand it, it occasioned some heated discussion, and some people weren't really comfortable with it. I'm not going to cast any judgments. You laugh, but I'm not. Exposing our feet is a very personal thing to do. Touching other people's feet is a very personal thing to do. And if you think about what people wore on their feet back in the ancient world, it wasn't shoes, it wasn't boots, it boots, open-toed sandals, and they didn't have socks on their feet. And then they traveled around on streets that were most often dirt. And so if you had gone any distance, your feet would be covered in dirt. And what Mary wanted to do when she poured that oil on Jesus' feet and cleaned them was offer him some hospitality and showing him that he mattered, that Mary cared for him. Now, we have the reaction of Judas Iscariot to her washing Jesus' feet with the oil of nard. And Judas is in fine Judas form. He's immediately criticizing Mary for what she's done. And he says something that some of us might sympathize with, which is, why are you doing this? It is a waste of a valuable resource, and it should be sold, and the money used to take care of the poor. Now, we see the editorial comment in John's Gospel that Judas didn't care about the poor, and that as treasurer of the band of disciples, he would often reach into the common pot and take money for himself. But let's think about what Judas is saying here, and whether it's fair. And we're going to set aside Jesus' response for a moment. Who here, and I'm presuming none of us are billionaires, has never had a thought about how Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk is spending his money? So before you feel good about your judgment, and yes, you're being judgmental, what business is it of yours? We need to be looking at our own hearts and our own actions. And if we as a community want to organize and gather and live in a democracy to elect representatives, to legislature, we can elect people who will carry out our will about how our whole society should be spending its resources. But wagging a finger and saying, oh, you bad rich person, is often a way for us to step away from confronting our own issues around money and the way we spend it personally. Now, I know you're all very generous and you support the church. I'm really grateful for that. But not everybody in the world is like that. And I think it behooves us during Lent, as we engage in reflection and repentance, to ask what we are doing. And we hear from Jesus as he scolds Judas, back off. You're always going to have the poor, but I am leaving you soon. Now, Jesus sounds somewhat callous here. And frankly, John might have benefited from some editing of his gospel. But the point remains. The poor are with us. They have not gone away. They're not magically going to disappear. And there are many ways that we try to magically make the poor disappear. But they're part of our community. They're part of our world. And there are things we can do to help lift people up and to get them going forward. That's what we need to do. Not complain that Jesus didn't take care of all of our problems. Jesus has given us the tools to do that. And you might wonder, what are those tools? Well, Jesus doesn't set up tax policy or appropriate government programs. Jesus gives us eyes with which to see and hearts with which to feel. And then we can act on those feelings and the things we see. I'm not going to get into a political diatribe today, but the church does need to look at the world around it. And the church does need to be involved in the wider community. Both because we want to preserve our own reputation. And I don't want people from other parts of the church doing things that are going to reflect poorly on us. If we're not out there people are going to make assumptions about what is important to us. And that's one of the reasons we have the banner hanging over our front door. So everybody in the community knows how this church feels about immigrants and refugees. That's one of the reasons we support Listen and Haven and Wise, because we as a community care about those programs. So what do we do with this open house? It's a strange gathering, if you think about it. The disciples have gathered, and Mary was really interested in hearing what Jesus had to say. And Martha, well, Martha seems to be a little bit ticked off. Martha's working away in the kitchen, trying to get everything ready. And I suspect there are times in our lives when we felt like Martha when someone else was being like Mary. But guess what? Both of them have contributions to make. And while Martha and Mary may not have been as supportive of one another as they could have been, Jesus knew what they were doing. And Jesus valued each of their actions. So when we're in a community like the church, everybody has a contribution to make. And some of you are going to be working in the kitchen. And some of you are going to be writing pastoral care. And others of you will be taking care of the building. And yet more of you will be working with the church finances. And hopefully we'll never have to deal with anybody like Judas sticking his hand into the pot, which we've not had to deal with here. But all of your contributions matter and are valued by God. All of you. Think about that. And it doesn't matter where you went to school, or what degrees you have, or what your professional background is. It's your ability to see and to think that's another gift from God, and to feel. And my hope is that we can think and feel and see with a heart that is open to the movement of the Holy Spirit, and that we will want to help build God's kingdom here on earth. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of Scripture. We thank you for the service of people like Martha and of Mary and of the disciples. Please be with us as we try to serve your community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.